for an odor-free, ultra-flexible, dry, and light solution to pain. The Lidacare Pain Patch from the makers of Blue Emu. For long-lasting relief, you can wear. Available at CVS, Walgreens, and Amazon.
Any Joe Schmo knows Geico will work to save you money on car insurance. But since money talks, why not just ask the savings?
That's me, Joe Savings. I'm not literally $1 million, but I feel like it. Why? Because when Joe switched his car insurance at Geico.com, his monthly rate went down and the savings went up. Now he uses the handy Geico mobile app anytime to check out his policy perks. Talk about a win-win and two thumbs up. Man, I wish I had thumbs.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
In Orlando, some rescue dogs are being trained to sniff out cancer.
He's got lots of purpose, lots of work to do. Our organization takes rescue dogs and saves their life so that they can in turn help or save someone else's life.
Tracy Eckert of the Positive Foundation says these cancer-sniffing dogs have an important role.
The nose definitely knows. They have about 250,000 times better scent than we do.
While on the health scene, August is National Immunization Month.
It's nice that it's done in August because a lot of children are going back to school, and so for many students, they need to be up to date on their immunizations in order to be admitted to school.
In Las Vegas, police removed hundreds of birds from two Valley homes as part of an investigation into cockfighting.
Someone who has that many, we pretty sure we know what it's about is animal fighting.
That fighting is illegal in Nevada and 47 other states. This is USA Radio News.
The storks are bringing me a baby brother. We can do this together.
All right, let's go.
Storks know how to keep kids safe. Do you?
What?
Oh, my gosh, you don't know.
I know.
You don't. Oh, man, you laugh when you're uncomfortable.
No.
Making sure your child is in the right car seat is one of the steps to safer travel.
I will rock this.
You will rock this.
To know for sure that your child is in the right car seat for their age and size, visit safercar.gov/the right seat.
Cool, cool, cool. Very cool, very cool.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
USA Radio News with Rod Williams-Stoll.
When Donald Trump does his talking, he doesn't go tiptoeing around all those thousands of rules of political correctness that the media and the political class has put in the way of men and women that are ready to speak the truth.
Vice presidential candidate Mike Pence believes Americans are tired of being told this is as good as it gets when it comes to the government and to the economy.
They tell us that this economy is the best that we can do. They paint a rosy picture, right? But you know what? Donald Trump and I know this is not the best that we can do. It's just the best they can do.
It's official and not a surprise. The Obama Presidential Library is coming to Chicago's Jackson Park. Obama Foundation Chairman Marty Nesbitt made the formal announcement yesterday.
The President and First Lady are proud that the Obama Foundation is developing the Obama Presidential Center on the South Side, a community that they call home.
The center will house a museum and the library, and it's expected to be completed by 2021. Democratic VP Senator Tim Kaine is expected to address delegates at the National Urban League's conference in Baltimore today. NBA sources say Russell Westbrook is ready to sign a 3-year deal with Oklahoma City. This is USA Radio News.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be talking about how to implement your yearly goals in just 6 months, the five costly mistakes small business owners make with online reviews, the three ways you should be marketing to millennials, and I'll ask and answer the question, are stale employees dragging your business down? And if so, what should you do about it? I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and the program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows that it's currently 77 degrees at 12:05. Just a beautiful day outside. Make sure you get out there and enjoy it. Today it'll be mostly sunny and pleasant with a high of 84 degrees and a low of 58. For tomorrow, again, we'll have mostly sunny skies and a high of 85 and a low of 68. Saturday, we're going to have variable clouds with a chance of a thunderstorm and a high of 88 degrees with a low of 63. And for Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny and less humid with a high of 86 and a low of 58. The current check of the financial market shows the Dow is down 3.84 to 18,351.16. The NASDAQ is up 6.50 to 5166.24. S&P 500 is up 1.54 to 2165.33. Oil is up 58 cents to $41.41 per barrel. And gold is up $5.20 to $1,369.90 an ounce. You are all caught up. And you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us as we do every day, or every Thursday at this time, a little after the noon o'clock hour. It's time for another edition of Taking Care of Business. You know, last week I had a story and nobody believed me. They said that I was making it up when I said that Pokemon Go was affecting the auto collision center business. And it was funny because about 2 days later, all of a sudden I see a video from Baltimore showing how a guy was driving down a street in Baltimore and ran right into the back end of a Baltimore City police cruiser. And the cool thing is his friends are, you know, shooting video of him after the accident. Thankfully nobody was hurt. And then he says, I can't believe I got into an accident over this stupid game. But there are all kinds of stories coming out about people spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to buy Pokemon extras that go along with the Pokemon Go game. And all kinds of stories of people skipping work. One couple was arrested in Arizona for leaving their 2-year-old toddler at home while they went to get gas and then search for more Pokemon. The child was home for about 2 hours. And finally, a neighbor saw that he was walking around outside of the house, couldn't get back inside the house, and it was 96 degrees outside in Phoenix. So I have no idea what the answer is. I'm so confused this week. Normally, I use this time of the show to recap what's happened in the last week. I'm so confused by what's happening in America right now. I don't know how to recap the last week. With people losing their heads over Pokemon Go and then playing this game while they're driving a car, you know, as if texting while driving wasn't bad enough or just being on the phone wasn't bad enough and being distracted. Now, all of a sudden, we have people playing Pokemon Go and then, you know, leaving their kids so they can go catch them all. It just, you know, to me, it doesn't make sense. Then you have the Republican and Democratic candidates making news, as they often do this time of year. This is supposed to be the slow time, July and August, and now with the Olympics, this is supposed to be a very slow time for political news. And yet it seems like every day there's something else that's just going to startle me even further. So earlier in the week, And this is, you know, we'll talk strategy in a minute, but earlier in the week, Hillary Clinton says that the FBI director said she did nothing wrong. And yet he has to come out and say, that's not what I said. So now she's caught in a lie. Then Donald Trump is in this huge battle going back and forth with a Gold Star family called the Khans, and attacking the character of the father, not the son. He says that, you know, the son is a hero, but attacking the character of the father. It's like some arguments are better left unwon. And I think that's one of them. So he's had a really rough 6 days, and every news pundit is saying the same thing. If there was ever a time for Trump to pounce right now on Hillary, this is it. And yet he's not doing it. And, you know, he's more worried about this one father than he is about, you know, more of a global argument. So it's just, I go home every night. I tape the evening news with Lester Holt, and I sit there on the couch for half an hour, and lately, the last three nights, I'm shaking my head like, you cannot be that stupid. You're trying to run for president of the United States, and instead of sticking to issues, and the news brief talked about how Ben Carson would say how Trump had a card in his wallet that would say, stick to the issues, you know, don't get into the mud. And that's all he seems to be doing. And, you know, Hillary's not helping herself, but now she has almost an 8-point lead in the polls with about 97 days left to go before the election. Very strange news indeed. So very bizarre what's going on in the political scene. I don't even know how to wrap my hands around it this week, so we're going to leave it right there. And let's talk about some business issues, because the program is called Taking Care of Business, and that's what we want to do, is take care of business. So, again, anytime you have questions, concerns that are affecting your business, and you want me to discuss them, I'll be glad to do that. Don't forget, you can email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. You can hit me up on Facebook or LinkedIn. We have a new Facebook page called Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano, so feel free to reach out to me there as well. And if it's something that's affecting your business, you want us to talk about it here, or find guests who may be able to talk about it, by all means, be glad to do that. In the preview, it talked about five costly mistakes that small businesses make with their online reviews. This is something that I don't think businesses spend enough time on. There are many businesses that will all of a sudden say, well, I don't know why, but my customers just, it seems like the pipeline of customers has dropped, and I don't know why. And then when you ask them, well, are you searching your online reviews? Are you Googling yourself? Very often you find, no, they didn't even know that that was an option. So every small business owner knows how valuable word-of-mouth marketing is. And I've often quoted Earl Nightingale when he said that the best form of advertising is a satisfied customer with a big mouth. But did you know that online reviews can be the digital equivalent? Now, according to Bright Local, a survey they conducted, 80% of customers trust online customer reviews as much as a personal recommendation. In the same survey, 92% said that they read online reviews. Now, clearly, online reviews have a big impact on small businesses, but like any other aspect of customer service, missteps can be costly. So here are the top five most common mistakes and how to avoid them. First, if you're not tracking your reviews, then you can't manage the reviews, and you don't know about. So you need to set up some form of a tracking system like Google Alerts so that you can stay aware of what customers are saying about your business online. You can track your business name, of course, and consider adding your own name, your business contact info, and any relevant keywords. Once you know where the reviews are, you can mitigate bad ones by responding to the complaint and leverage positive feedback in your marketing. This week, there was a press release sent out about our store winning 4 awards at the Crown Annual Meeting, and all of a sudden I was getting Google alerts, and it had either my name or the business name or my son's name, and it was good to see like where these articles were being published, and then if there were any comments, you can review them as well. If you don't ask for reviews, that's another mistake people are making. If you don't have any reviews, all too often small businesses don't encourage customers to go online and leave feedback. Now, whether you use a printed card or an email, you should make a habit of politely asking customers to review your business, especially right after you've completed a transaction or provided a service. If you don't respond to reviews, that's the third issue. Now, responding to online reviews, good or bad, shows that you care about what customers have to say. So take the opportunity to let your customer service shine by saying thank you to positive reviewers and apologizing to negative reviewers with an offer to try and resolve the problem. This approach will impress new customers as well as when they see the comments. If you, number four, don't offer to resolve the issue offline, that's another mistake. So when you respond to a negative review, you want to include your phone number or an email address for them to contact you directly. It's much better to sort out the complaint in private rather than engaging in a long back and forth online where other potential customers can see it. When I first opened our store, within 6 months, we got a negative review, and the woman said that she brought in a perpetual plaque, that it came back and we had scratched it and we refused to fix it. And I was scratching my head saying, this never happened. I've never engraved a plaque. So I went online and I said, you know, I gave her name and I said, I don't recall this job, but I will gladly fix it at my expense if you'll just bring the plaque back. This is not how we run our business, and it certainly wouldn't purposely scratch something and then let it out there. And a couple of weeks go by. Still haven't heard from her, but there's no follow-up from her online. And then all of a sudden, one day, the phone rings, and she says, I have an apology to make. I wasn't talking about your store. I was talking about another store, but inadvertently posted it to your page. I said, well, there's a problem there because now people are thinking that I'm scratching product and I'm not fixing it. I'm not standing behind our work. I said, would you go back online and admit your mistake so that, you know, there's no harm, no foul, which eventually she did. But I had to get her to do that step, you know, even though in my explanation, I said, I don't believe this is something we've done. But, you know, when she finally went out, it just added a little bit more validity to us. And number five, and this is something I tell people a lot because for some reason everybody always wants to be right. Don't post argumentative comments. Now, no matter how ugly or incorrect the negative review might be, it's vital that you respond calmly and professionally. So don't engage in a public spat that makes your business look bad. Instead, focus on resolving the issue offline when possible and diluting negative reviews with lots of positive ones from happy customers. So there's a couple ways that businesses are making some costly mistakes with their online reviews and how to fix them. You're listening to Taking Care of Business. We're going to take our first break. And when we come back, man, do I have a story that is getting a lot of buzz with our listeners. When I posted it on Facebook last night, are stale employees dragging your business down? You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking
listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you for the next 45 minutes as we talk about issues affecting businesses large and small, both here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. A couple weeks ago, I was at the Crown Trophy annual franchisee meeting, and there was some discussion about what happens when it seems like an employee either doesn't care anymore, doesn't think you can touch them anymore, creates their own rules, if you will, or that the rules simply don't apply to them. The term is known as being called a stale employee, meaning that it's kind of been around a little too long. So is there an employee, here's the question for you, is there an employee on your team that's holding back your business? And if so, these steps that I'm going to lay out for you can help you turn the situation around. Now, almost every business owner has dealt with stale employees who refuse to change with the times. These employees have decided that they've learned everything they need to, and now they coast by on their tenure without contributing their share to the success of the company. Unfortunately for you, the boss, these employees probably used to be exceptional in their positions. You probably have a great relationship, and they're likely your most highly paid employees. But if these members of your team don't change, you may have to choose between maintaining long-standing relationships or ensuring the success of your business. Now, the question has to be asked, can stale employees be saved? Now, while some stale employees can be saved, old habits are difficult to change. You have to provide specific goals that directly correlate to the tasks that this employee needs to be able to complete in order to stay. Set a firm deadline for closure, say 90 days. Have it in writing and evaluate the progress with them along the way. A local company that I had done some consulting with had about 25 employees. The owner was loyal to an account representative who had been with him for 15 years. Unfortunately, the employee had chosen not to embrace the digital revolution in his industry, and his skills had become irrelevant over the years. The owner felt so attached that he didn't realize what a burden the stale employee had become on his other employees until his star account executive quit, citing his frustration over covering for the stale employee as his reason for leaving. As a result, this company's biggest client also left, and the owner had to lay off some of his workforce. That finally got his attention. He had taken action earlier, or had he taken action earlier, people would have kept their jobs. He sat down with this employee and gave him a generous amount of time to change and specific progress goals to meet, but he saw little sustainable improvement. In the end, he gave his employee a choice, resign or be fired. The employee resigned, and on the day of the announcement, the owner learned that several other people had been looking for new jobs to get away from this person. Most stayed, but the damage of the stale employee had taken its toll on the company. So how do you deal with a stale employee? Now, obviously, you can't afford to wait as long as my client did, but if you have a stale employee, start with these three steps. The first is to schedule the conversation. You want to talk with the employee away from the office. Allow for a couple of hours and brace for a very difficult conversation. Give the person credit for work done in the past, and then have a candid conversation about the current situation. Back up your points with facts and specific examples from their work. Number two, you want to set an ultimatum. Tell the employee that this can't continue. Is he or she willing to grow and change for the betterment of the company, or is it time for a job elsewhere that better aligns with his or her skills? Number three, set metrics and a deadline. You want to provide specific goals that directly correlate to the task this employee needs to be able to complete in order to stay. Set a firm deadline for closure, and again, 90 days is good. Have it in writing and evaluate the progress along the way. Allow the employee the necessary resources to make the change, but you don't spoon feed them. Happy endings aren't impossible with stale employees, but both of you have to invest the time and effort to make the change. If the employee doesn't meet the improvements by the deadline, help him or find something new as respectfully as possible, but don't continue to let a stale employee drag your business down. Nobody is worth it. Currently 12:24, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. As an example of that last story with regards to stale employees, I was doing some consulting work with a lumberyard, and we had a purchasing manager. When I came in, there wasn't any inventory system. There weren't computers on anybody's desk. I didn't understand how they were running this business, but because it had been around for 50 years, everybody did business the way they've always done it. I just love that sentence. They were handwriting purchase orders. They were handwriting inventories and things like that, and they would walk around the lumber yard and say, well, we probably need to order some more 2x4s. But our purchasing manager, who sat in his office, he would just get the POs from the sales reps and then process them. But there was no real way to monitor what was coming in and what was going out. So when I talked to the owner of the business, I said, look, we have to get automated. We need computers here. There's a great program called ComSense where we can put every piece of our inventory, hardware, locks, lumber, all of our closet material in one convenient database. So it took about 3 weeks to program, and then we rolled it out to all the employees. Salesmen loved it. Warehouse men loved it. Only one guy didn't love it, and that was our purchasing manager. So I said, Larry, look, you got 1 month to get this done. You have to learn this system. I will sit with you whenever to go over it. And he goes, no, I've been doing this for 20 years. This is how I do it, and this is the only way I'm going to do it, and that's that. So I gave him 30 days. I kept going in every day. Larry, do you want to sit down, and we can go over the new system? He goes, nope, I'm not doing it. I was like, okay. So finally, on the 30th day, which happened to fall on a Friday, he left at around 3:30 in the afternoon. And I went around his office, and I picked up every piece of paper that said purchase order on it. You know, we had forms for purchase orders. And I took them all and I put them in my office. Still sitting on his desk was the brand new computer and the brand new monitor. And when I got in on Monday a little early, I turned it on for him and I had it preloaded to the page he would need. When he got in, he started looking for his papers to fill in the over the weekend orders. Couldn't find him. He was screaming, ranting, and raving. He slammed the door. He was throwing things. Coffee mugs were shattering against walls. This was your typical meltdown. And this went on for about an hour and a half. The owner came to me. He says, we got to go in there. You got to stop this. I said, not yet. Let him have his little hissy fit. So he had his hissy fit. And about 2 hours later, he came out. And he goes, what are my options? I said, your options are you have to learn this system. And he goes, what's my other option? I go, there is no other option. So I sat down with him, and we started putting in the first purchase order. And really, it wasn't hard. He knew how to use a computer, but he just didn't want to learn something new. He was resistant to change. After about 2 weeks, I walked back into his office with all of the old paper forms, which we had always kept as a backup in case the computer system crashed. I go, well, Larry, here you go. Do you want your forms back? He goes, get those out of here. This is so much easier. Again, it was just that reluctance to change that he was building this big wall up that wouldn't allow him to make the change and to admit that this could be a better way. And eventually, the company did much better. Our lost inventory was reduced almost to zero. We actually caught an employee stealing from us that before we never would have found if we didn't have an accurate inventory system. And as a result, the company saved hundreds of thousands of dollars. So sometimes, if it means, think about, if you're a business owner, think about one thing. Everything you have invested in your business, and that could be life savings, that could be your home, kids' education, are you willing to sacrifice all of that for one or two employees that just simply think that, you know, their way is better? Always remember, it's your company and run it as such. On a previous story, I talked about Google Alerts. Here's how that works. I just found this for you. Following and responding to all the online reviews of your business can feel overwhelming, especially when customer feedback is scattered across multiple websites and social media platforms. But a head-in-the-sand approach will only hurt your business. Online reviews have a big influence on customer purchasing decisions, and you should know what people are saying about your company. One free tool that can make this process easier is Google Alerts. Just type in the search term you want to track in addition to your business name, and you can also add your name and any important keywords associated with your business, and you'll get regular email updates when your business is mentioned online. Adjust the settings to refine your updates by source and region, regulate the frequency of your updates, and combine all your alerts into one digestible email. This way, you can track and respond to customer feedback without having to check every review site manually. I want to go back for just 1 second. When I posted the teaser last night about stale employees, I did get a reply from a friend of mine out in Ohio, John Knight, and I wanted to make sure that we reviewed that because I promised him that I would. John said, the boss is always the reason the employees get stale. Leadership should prevent that. I can't agree with him more, and I even asked him, I said, can I use that tomorrow? And he said, yep. He did send me an article, which came out of CanadianBusiness.com, called Your Worst Employees Are the Ones Who Need Praise Even More. And the gist of the article is that even though they are your worst employees, by praising them, it seems as if they will respond more to the positive reinforcement. I'm going to read that article. I may bring that up for a future topic as well. But I think that, you know, it was an interesting take when he said that it's the leadership that has to prevent an employee from becoming stale. And a lot of times, that's 100% accurate. You know, when you run the business and you know, what I call sitting in the big boy chair, it's your job to make sure that your people have the right tools and the right attitude to complete their tasks. Another thing that we're implementing over at Crown Trophy is learning time. You know, we get several magazines that have great articles. If you just do your job day in, day out, the way you were shown how to do it, you're never improving. So we encourage our employees to take an hour out of each day and do some library time and read articles that impact their function within the business. So just a couple ways that you can help improve some of the employees in your business from becoming stale. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick news break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how adjusting for inflation, the federal minimum wage is worth less than it was 50 years ago. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Russ Jones.
Well, look, I think we know that the agreement has put a lid on Iran's nuclear weapons program. I consider that to be a very positive step.
That's Hillary Clinton defending the White House's decision to send a secret cargo plane with $400 million in cash to Iran. She also says it wasn't the swap for hostages, but a payback for canceled contracts. And former presidential candidate Ben Carson wishes Donald Trump would stick to the issues.
I'd love him to carry around a little card in his pocket, and every time he's asked about something that wants to drag him off into the hinterlands, he pulls that up and says, "No mud. Let's talk about the issues."
An American woman was killed and five others were injured in the knife attack at London's Russell Square. Police say terrorism was not the motive for the stabbing spree. This is USA Radio News.
We all want to live long, healthy lives, and we know that smoking is not a part of making that happen. We all know the dangers, but we also know that it's tough to quit smoking and make it stick. And that's where Nickel Block comes in. It comes in a little bottle, and when you put it on the filter of your cigarette, it blocks the inhalation of tar and nicotine. So you got to check this out. Go to nickelblock.tv and find out more. You can also call 877-835-6060. Now, whether this is your first time quitting or your fifth, Nickel Block is your best chance to stop smoking for good. The taste doesn't change, and neither does your satisfaction. But what does change is your dependence on nicotine. And as you increase the number of Nickel Block drops, you'll gradually decrease your tar and nicotine intake. It's that simple. It's gradual. It's effective. Call 877-835-6060. Stop smoking. Make it for good this time. 877-835-6060 or go to nickelblock.tv.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
It's currently 12:33. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. What a gorgeous day outside. I just poked my head out the window again. Man, I can't believe how nice it is out there. This would be a great day to be working for a landscaper like Joshua's Landscape Design and Masonry crew who are out there soaking up the rays today and hopefully getting some work done. Josh recently got married, so congratulations to Josh and Danielle. And that shout-out will only cost you $5,000. Don't worry about it. But, you know, if you ever need a landscaper in the Bridgewater, Flemington area, look up Joshua's Landscape and Masonry because he just does beautiful work and just a great guy to hang out with as well. So you sit in the chair, pop open a cold one, and let Josh do all the work. It's a great thing. Taking a look at the weather, it's going to be mostly sunny and pleasant with a high of 84 and a low of 58. Tomorrow, we'll have mostly sunny skies and a high of 85, a low of 68. For Saturday, variable clouds will move in. Chance of a thunderstorm in the afternoon with a high of 88 and a low of 63. And for Sunday, mostly sunny skies with less humid temperatures and a high of 86 and a low of 58. A lot of conversation going back and forth lately about the minimum wage. States are enacting it. California did. D.C. did. New York did, where we're getting up to about $15.50 an hour over the course of the next 4 or 5 years. But A new study was recently completed that showed that if you adjusted the minimum wage for inflation, the federal minimum wage is less than it was, or worth less than it was, 50 years ago. Now, nearly 7 years after the federal minimum wage was last raised to $7.25 an hour from $6.55, it has remained stagnant despite the increasingly heated debate over better pay and worker protections. But that hasn't stopped Ken Weinstein from paying his workers more at his two restaurants in Pennsylvania where the state minimum wage matches the federal floor. Weinstein owns two trolley car diners in Philadelphia and decided 2 years ago to increase the minimum wage for his 75 employees to $8.50 an hour. It's a competitive thing. You certainly get better employees by paying them more, said Weinstein, who supports a $12 an hour federal minimum wage. We have a stable workforce, and it's partly due to treating our employees well and paying them more than our competitors. Now, despite periodic increases, the buying power of the federal minimum wage hasn't kept up with inflation. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, data shows that in 1968, the federal minimum wage was the equivalent of $10.90 in 2015 dollars, or nearly $4 higher than today's rate. Across the country, 29 states and Washington, D.C. currently have wages above the federal floor, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures. California and New York are set to soon have the highest minimum wages in the nation after deals were struck by their governors to raise them to $15 an hour by 2022 and 2018, respectively, with slower increases for smaller businesses. Many big cities from Los Angeles to Seattle have also independently hiked their local minimum wage. The Obama administration has also taken some action on wages, with the Department of Labor enacting sweeping changes to overtime regulations. By December, more than 4 million salaried employees earning $23,660 to $47,476 annually will be eligible for overtime pay. And over the past 2 years, major players, including Target, Walmart, and Facebook, have joined the wage fight, increasing pay for workers amid an ongoing battle over whether higher pay and benefits are better for businesses. For higher wage advocates, the momentum is a great start, but more work needs to be done. It's not acceptable, Holly Sklar, the CEO of the advocacy group Business for a Fair Minimum Wage, said about the seven-year stretch at $7.25. The whole point of the minimum wage is to have it go up regularly. It shouldn't sit still every year when the cost of living is going up. The minimum wage is losing value. But not everyone on Main Street is ready to pay more. Opponents argue that mandating higher wages will hurt smaller companies that may not have the sales or support to take on the increase, plus the added pressure and costs for other regulations, including health care reform and overtime pay. Members of the conservative lobbying group, the National Federation of Independent Business, have opposed wage increases at state and local levels in recent years and are against hiking the federal minimum wage, says spokesman Jack Mosloom. Our members don't feel they can absorb the increase, and the increases are unrelated to their business. Muslim said, whether they have the sales to support higher labor costs is something politicians can't answer. The idea that presidential candidates like Hillary Clinton would support raising wages as high as $15 an hour at the state and local levels is very troubling for those in the Midwest and the South, where the cost of living is lower. That would hurt them, Muslim said. Donald Trump had wavered on plans to enact a higher minimum wage, telling NBC in May that states should decide their own wages for competitive reasons. Weinstein disagrees with the notion that a federal minimum wage increase is bad for Main Street and said higher wages haven't hurt his business. In fact, he's set to open up a third location next summer. If we all end up paying our employees more than we do now, they will have more money to spend at our businesses and products. There are benefits to area businesses. I'm going to step aside here and put on the devil's advocate hat. You know, it's good that it's working for some businesses. Keep in mind, minimum wage was initially designed not as a career move, but as just a base for people to get a fair wage until they could get a better job. The second thing, and this is the one thing that politicians fail to grasp or discuss, is that if we have to pay our employees more, the cost of our goods is going to go up. The cost of goods from our suppliers is going to go up. And as a result, nobody's going to be any better off in the long run. It's time that people have to look at job training and other things so that they can get the necessary skills to do their jobs better. A few weeks ago, I was talking with a woman, and she just stopped in the store to see, you know, if we were hiring. And I said, well, not at the moment, but, you know, what are you interested in? And she told me, and she goes, look, I have to be very honest with you. I don't have any clerical skills. I don't know. Other than how to use Facebook and email, I don't know any computer programs like Word, Excel, PowerPoint, or anything like that. And I'm like, what can I do with this woman? And that's a person that really should be going back to school. And I don't care if you're 25, 35, 55 like me, or 75, if you need the skills, you have to invest the time and the energy and the effort to get it. So could you take a beginner's course in Microsoft Excel? Can you take a beginner's course in Microsoft Word or PowerPoint or the entire Office suite, just so that you have some skills, so that even if you're being tested? And when I worked for a recruiting firm and we had an administrative side to fill administrative positions, is it something where you could go in, take the test, and score well so that then the ladies who marketed those positions could get you a better position? If you're not willing to take those steps, then minimum wage is probably going to be the best you're ever going to get. How do you get the most out of Facebook for Business? We're just switching topics left and right here today. Facebook offers a wealth of informational content, digital events, and advertising options for businesses, all neatly organized into a convenient digital hub. Did you know that? Well, are you taking full advantage of the social media juggernaut's many tools and tips? Here are a few ways your small business can get the most out of Facebook for Business. Every business, in addition to having a website, should at least have a Facebook page. And put a comma there, put a dash or something, but don't end the sentence with a period there. And you have to constantly maintain it with new content. So as I mentioned before, Joshua's landscaping, he should be posting pictures on a regular basis of what he's doing. Not over-posting, but keeping people aware of the different projects that he makes. So if he does one patio and he goes three houses down the street and does another patio and they look the same, maybe we don't show the second one. But if you do a patio and a planter bed and a masonry bench or something like that, or a fire pit, yeah, let's show the different things that you can do so people get a feeling for, you know, your qualifications. So here's a couple of tools that Facebook has for business. The first one is called Blueprint. Now, Facebook's Blueprint is a series of more than 50 free digital training sessions and counting that are accessible anytime, anywhere. Topics include A/B testing, brand building on Facebook and Instagram, Facebook events, Facebook terminology, and more. There's also webinars. Roughly every other week, Facebook holds a free live webinar as part of its ongoing series, Marketing Strategies to Help Grow Your Business on Facebook and Instagram. Topics vary, but often contain content valuable for small business owners, including upcoming webinars, local awareness ads, the right place at the right time. Recordings of the webinars are distributed to all registrants, so you can revisit and share as needed. There's also Facebook ads. Facebook for Business walks prospective customers step by step through the process of creating and targeting ads for Facebook or Instagram, which Facebook now also owns, as well as how to measure and refine your campaigns. There's also post boosting. In the past, if a person liked your page, your post would automatically appear in their newsfeed. But as Facebook has grown, the algorithm has shifted. Though your posts still appear on your own page, it's only pushed to a fraction of your fans' news feeds. However, you can pay to boost a post to a much wider but still extremely targeted audience. And usually that post will cost you about, the boost post will cost you about $5. So it's not terrible, but could increase the awareness people have of you because it reaches a broader spectrum. Going to step away, take our break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about, now this is an interesting concept. Now think back to January 1st. The ball dropped, you woke up the next day, had a bit of a hangover, and you wrote down your resolutions. What were you going to accomplish this year? How many of those of you are still on track to complete everything that you set out for? I'm going to have 7 easy-to-implement tactics so that you can reach your yearly goals in the remaining 6 months. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Currently 12:46. So glad you could join us on another edition. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy out here in Flemington, and glad to spend this time with you every week, as we do, talking about issues affecting businesses here in Hunterdon County and on the national scene as well. Speaking of the national scene, announced today, Nike is getting out of the golf equipment business. They will no longer be making clubs, bags, or balls. They are going to get out of the equipment business altogether and focus on shoes and apparel. Now, a lot of people look at Rory McIlroy, who is a Nike golfer, and others like Tiger Woods to say, what then? And Tiger Woods' agent has already said that they're already working with other manufacturers to see which ones will work best for his golf game. So I don't want to call it upsetting, but probably a huge upheaval in the golf market. I'm sure we're going to be hearing more and more on that in the coming days, as one of the leading manufacturers in golf equipment is now getting out of the business altogether. So, again, Nike is leaving the golf equipment business or industry. Sometimes it's what you have to do. You're in one arena, and finally you say, you know, that's not working for us. We have to move on. And pretty big player pulling out of a relatively lucrative market in golf equipment. All right, we talked about it before the break. How can you reach your yearly goals when there's only about 5 or 6 months left in the year? And think about this. Like, if you've set certain goals, certain measurable ones are easy. Let's say you've set a sales goal and you want to do $500,000 in sales for the year, and you're currently at around $250,000, $275,000, $300,000. You're right on track if your second half yearly sales trend the same as the first half. But what happens if you're top heavy in the first half and light in the second? Where are you going to make the additional sales come in? So here we go again. You're running out of energy, and it's time to stop working for the day. It's a long one, but you wonder, what did I do today to move towards my goals? You're not too sure. Where did the day go? And then a familiar feeling of frustration arises again. You're closing your laptop, you're turning off the lights, and you're taking the resolution to work more the next day. But is this really the solution? So here are the 7 tactics that can help you reach your goals faster. Number 1, avoid time management apps. Now, while they can be a good motivator to get you started, interrupting you when you're in the flow could seriously damage your productivity. Being in the flow means reaching that state where you're totally immersed in your activity. And when you know exactly where you're going and you're going there fast, but you might need an hour of heavy mental preparation to get there. So letting an app stop you doesn't make sense. You'll also get more done if you work on a task for a long period of time rather than working on many tasks for short bursts. Why? Because that way you avoid the cost of task switching, which is the time and energy wasted to focus on a new task. Flow matters, so don't cut yourself short when you're inspired. Number two, you want to go out and network. Innovation and evolution thrive in large networks, so don't isolate yourself. Find networking events and a mastermind group near you. If you can't, then create your own. Meet weekly or bi-monthly with accountability friends who will ask you about your progress. These will certainly motivate you to move your business forward. So get up, close your laptop, and go network. Networking is marketing. Marketing yourself, marketing your uniqueness, marketing what you stand for, said Christine Comaford Lynch. Number three, you want to dedicate time to get into the right mindset. And this may include meditation and visualization as part of your morning routine that many successful people share. These activities increase their clarity and they decrease their stress. They create a morning routine because we all have a limited amount of focus and willpower to use each day. Every decision we take towards useless things makes us weaker. So doing these activities in automatic mode every morning puts ourselves in the right state of mind without using any of this willpower. You don't think about what to do or where or for how long. You just apply your formula every day. You also want to make space to achieve your long-term goals. Now, the reality is most of your daily tasks belong somehow to your short-term goals. Posting something on your Facebook page, polishing your website design, learning about SEO, fair enough. They need to be done, but the problem arises when there is no space anymore for crucial activities. You know, these emotionally difficult, harder to measure tasks with a longer return on investment, contacting influencers, guest blogging, setting up systems. These are no quick wins, but a potential big ones down the line. As Nassim Taleb put it, I use courage and wisdom, not labor, to make money. Even 1 hour per day will have a big effect over time. So schedule it, and otherwise your daily task will happily take over. Number five, you want to limit your information gathering. Now, sure, studying business and marketing blogs is essential to educate yourself, but truth be told, learning is easier than actually doing the work, and learning can quickly become a distraction. With all these attention-grabbing blog posts, it's easy to think, I'm not ready to implement yet. I still need to study a dozen more articles and a few more after that. The solution? Find a few valuable blogs that resonate with you, and then learn how to accomplish what you need to do now, and then do it. Later, if you find yourself stuck, then you can go back to the blogs you trust and find related articles to fix your situation. It's a waste of your time to learn how to A/B test your page when you have 5 visitors a day on your site. So do something to increase your traffic instead. You also don't want to work so much, but take care of yourself. But how can I get more done if I don't work like a machine, you might say? Well, while it's doable to work 15 hours a day because you need to ship something, I wouldn't recommend that you create a habit out of that. You see, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And the most important measure there is your level of energy. That's what you need to take care of. Imagine yourself in bed for a week with a heavy fever because your body can't take your lifestyle anymore. How efficient is that? Take care of your body. Without energy, nothing gets accomplished. And seven, give as much as you can. No time to focus on others? Think again. Self-centered people focus only on what benefits they can get from others, or takers, as called in Adam Grant's book, Give and Take. Lose respect and damage their reputations in the long run. On the opposite, there are givers, people driven by the desire to help others achieve more. They focus on the greater good, and they see potential in everyone they meet. Turns out, this attitude drives them slowly to the top positions in society. A warning, though, givers are only successful if they can avoid burnout or being abused by the takers. So, as with everything in life, be moderate in your actions. Feeling like you're in the hamster wheel sucks, but simply changing to the way you work can have mind-blowing effects on your productivity. Imagine spending your day with a deep sense of clarity knowing you have control over your tasks. So what are your goals to reach in 6 months? These are things that you may want to start writing down. Yesterday, my son came to me, and this is a topic we had talked about after our summer meeting, and he said, I want us to write down our short-term and our long-term goals. So he stopped in my office and he gave me 2 pages. One was short-term, one was long-term, and he had it broken down almost by month. And you could see that there was a definite roadmap to how he was going to achieve those goals. So now that he's created his, I have to go out and create mine. And I think we're going to pretty much be in line with one another based on what I saw from him, but it's still something that I think you want to do now so that it's kind of a plan for the future. So try to get out there, make some goals for yourself for the rest of the year, and then create that roadmap for success. And hopefully, when we get together in December, you'll be able to tell me that you've achieved everything that you wanted to. Just a reminder, tomorrow night, well, tonight is Thursday Night Lights here in Flemington. So feel free to come out. It's going to be a beautiful night here in Flemington with nice temperatures and a little bit of a breeze, so you're going to want to come out and see some of the music that's being performed pretty much all over town. It's on Main Street. It's at the Stengel Stage. So walk around, get a feeling for the different musicians, enjoy yourself, have a great night. And then tomorrow, the filling station will be open again, both Friday and Saturday night. So again, there's an opportunity for you to $5. Grab a beer, grab a glass of wine, and enjoy the company of several hundred of your closest friends, neighbors, and relatives. Come on out to the filling station, which is at the corner of William and Main Street, the old Heinlein gas station. Still getting a lot of good feedback from people. A woman stopped in the store yesterday. She was looking for how she can get a filling station t-shirt. They are available at Crown Trophy for just $20. She was actually ordering, I believe, for the family. But she was so happy. I said, how do you like it? And she just raved for about 3 or 4 minutes about why it was so special and why it's great for the town and things. Can we improve on it? Yes, we can, and yes, we will. But first shot out of the blocks, I think it's one of the most successful projects in the last 20 years here in Flemington. On Saturday, I believe it's at 10:30, there's going to be a rally in front of the courthouse to save and preserve historic downtown Flemington. So a lot of people interested in this. Basically talking about how to preserve the Union Hotel and the three other side buildings that developer Jack Crust is talking about having to tear down to make way for a new plaza, apartments, parking deck, satellite college campus, etc. So if you're interested, it's designed to be a peaceful protest, so you may want to just come out and lend your support to the Downtown Flemington Historical Society and see and get more information on what can be done if you so desire to save those buildings. I had a conversation with a gentleman the other day who's organizing the event, and I think he kind of is misled that I'm for tearing down the buildings. I'm not. What I'm looking for, though, is that after 10 years of nothing, I don't want to just have a rally and say save the buildings and we stop all future development. I'm looking for that next. It's kind of like you're driving me to the stop sign, but you won't let me hit the accelerator and go further. Tell me what we can do after we stop the development. So, you know, what is next? What's the next step? How do we preserve the buildings? Where's the money coming from? And how will they be used? Otherwise, sometimes we have to look and say, this may be the time when a massive change is needed. In sports, in NASCAR, Chris Buescher was the surprise winner in the rain-shortened Pennsylvania 400 last week at Pocono. This week, the teams head to Watkins Glen, New York, and for the Cheez-It 355 at the Glen on Sunday at 2:45 p.m. on NBC Sports. In other NASCAR news, Jeff Gordon will be behind the wheel of the number 88 car as a substitute driver once again for Dale Earnhardt Jr., who was experiencing concussion-like symptoms this week. Now, for many Gordon fans, they were a little disappointed when he retired last year with 797 career starts. This week will be his 800th start, his third for Earnhardt Jr., so he will eclipse that milestone of 800 starts in NASCAR. Also celebrating a milestone this week will be Matt Kenseth, who will start his 600th race. In Major League Baseball, the regular season is underway, and the Orioles, Indians, and Rangers lead their divisions in the American League, while the Nationals, Cubs, and Giants lead their divisions in the National League. So hopefully we'll get a little bit more sports action coming up. I believe the Hall of Fame game is coming up this weekend at Canton, Ohio, and the enshrinement of those going into the National Football Hall of Fame will also be taking place on Sunday. So if you get a chance, take a look at that. Very good class going in this year as well. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I am taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician,